Now, when we're out at Mark and Jeanette's house, and John turned it up with his boys, we were discussing foundations for life. Now, a right relationship with God is our strong foundation. Am I right in the middle of the... Okay, got it? So we were talking about this and discussing, well, the Harbour Bridge must have had some pretty good foundation. Did any of you people build it, by the way? No. But we were discussing it. See, Mark's an engineer, civil engineer, and John knew a lot about too. So we're all discussing this issue. The foundations are on either end of that bridge. It's an amazing bridge, isn't it? A huge, big area. And so that's where the foundations are built, on either end to hold the weight. And Mark was saying it's affected by heat on one side and this type of thing. It's all a technical problem. But we're discussing the foundations of your life and what's going on. What has God's had? At the same time they're building that, by the way, my father went down to see it open, and my great uncle was building an identical bridge up in Brisbane. So he built two immense foundations on either side, but he was smart enough to turn them into flats. So, you know, let's make money out of this. So we've got to pay for the bridge, so that's what he did. So we're thinking of this. And the key thought for our thought today is fellowship with Jesus, our Lord, is foundational. He is the one who's going to direct us. He created the whole world. He created each of you just as you are. You are unique, every one of you. And you just think of this. God created you with a purpose on this world. Now, what we're going to do thinking about this morning is Paul wrote this word. So we're looking at this. And this is what he wrote. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. Now, at the beginning of the verse, it says God is faithful. But in the message, we're putting that at the end. That's the foundation, you know, the real basis. By whom you were called into fellowship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice those two things. He's the foundation. Jesus is the one we walk in fellowship with. And we're going to think about those two major features because they are joined together by another F word, forgiven. You with me on this?
Yes.
So, this is very important. As we look at this, who wrote these words? Okay, it was Paul the Apostle. Now, Paul, can you tell us a bit more about yourself? So we're looking at this because I notice you're thinking about modern culture. What is culture? Can I read you a verse of Scripture to give us an understanding of what God says culture is? Are you with me? The law, that is the Jewish culture, is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. The culture that you and I operate by in Australia, what did I say? It's of a mindset of Australian people. Is it the same as when you were a child? No way. It's changed radically, is that? And then we are, I'm not going to say this word assaulted, but I'll mention it, assaulted by the modern digital culture. Computers, mobile phones, the internet, Google, Facebook, all of this. It's a totally new ball game. And this is what God says. You think it's concrete. It's not. He says culture is a shadow of the good things. I'm going to go what Paul said over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, and you listen very carefully what he is saying. He was discussing the Jewish law, and this is what he said. Listen very carefully. Now, verse 17, these, all of the Jewish law and that type of culture, all of Australian culture too, is a shadow of the good things to come. The reality is found in Christ. You with me on this? Now let's be honest about this. Jesus has been the only one to rise from the dead. And 500 people saw him alive. And they witnessed the impossible. Dead people die. But dead people will rise. Our ancestors, all of them. And this is where the foundation is. So as we think of it, let's ask Paul a few questions. Paul, what was going on in your life? What happened? He said, I grew up within the Jewish culture. He was ambitious. He wanted to be the greatest. He was progressing more than anyone else in his own culture. And this mob of people turned up saying, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, has risen from the dead. Rubbish, he said. Didn't happen that way. Do you see a clash? Every human being is built with a fist in their hand. Is that right? Now, when you came to church this morning, did you break the law by going more than 60 kilometres an hour? Oh no, we wouldn't do that, would we? But that's human nature. That's the culture of human beings. We don't like laws. We don't like anybody telling us what to do. Is that right? It's true. And this is where this man, Paul, says, they're wrong. And what does he do? He became involved in the stoning of Stephen. Involved in murder. You're opposing my system. The law, the Jewish law, the sacrifices and all the other things that are involved in Judaism is what is true. Deep in his heart he knew he did not know. He was uncertain. There were uncertain things. So the more he got uncertain, the more he shouted. You know this type of thing? It happens in everybody's world. This is what human beings. You and I are relational people. We are looking forward to meeting God. There's a hunger in our heart for other people. And this is why people get married. And this is what God did. He made us in his image. God is a social being. Three persons in one God. And you and I are relational. And we are relational to the core of our being. We need other people. Is anybody an island? No way. We all need each other. And this is what Paul... Now, it doesn't say that he got married. In fact, he may have never got married, or maybe he was a widower. We don't know about Paul. But we're going to go with Paul on the next step of his journey. Here he is going on a trip to Damascus. And as he's walking down the road, he can't get out of his mind what has just happened before this. He was there saying, Stephen should die. Is this church St. Stephen's? Yes, it is. But we're not thinking about that. We're thinking of this man was proclaiming Jesus is risen. He said the dead don't rise. And he was angry and he was there giving agreement to the stoning and they killed him because he believed in Jesus. But he was unafraid. I know Jesus is alive. I know. And I'm going to rise to eternal life. But he couldn't get over what else he did. He was not angry at those who were stoning him. And he said, Father, forgive them. Now let me read that verse to you. Let's read what he actually said. And this is in Acts chapter 7. Let's read what Stephen said. Very important words. Chapter 7. And right there at the very end of it, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He couldn't get over it. Nobody can forgive those who are killing them. But he did. Who did it before him? Jesus. On the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't got a clue. You see, Jesus is the Lord of glory. He created us. And here, mankind were killing them. And as he's going along that road, he can't get it out of his mind. The love of Stephen, the forgiveness that he had for those who were killing him. That's not right. He couldn't get over it. And then as he went along this road, He was breathing out murderous intent against the believers in Damascus. I'm going to stop this thing once and for all. He didn't like being told that he was wrong. Do you like being told you're wrong? None of us like that when we're told we're wrong. And he was opposing them. Angry, but he was an angry man. But he didn't really know where he was going. As the lady said to us earlier, I was lost. And this man was lost. In the midst of his stronghold to Judaism, he was lost. He didn't know where he was going. And then suddenly something happened. He saw a man there with scars on his hand, scars on his hand, scars on his feet. The man who was supposed to be in the grave was no longer in the grave. He was standing there in the middle of the road and stopped him. He saw a flash of light and he was blinded by it. Unbelievable. He saw what he did not believe was true. And he suddenly realized it was true. Jesus had risen and had met him on the road to Damascus. All his thoughts, all his planning, all his ideas came to nothing. And he suddenly saw our culture is just a shadow. The reality is Christ. That is the only thing that lasts forever. And here he was. Shattered. And there he was on the ground, and God spoke to him. And he went into the town, and there Ananias laid hands on him and restored him to sight. Suddenly he'd come to know God. He knew Jesus was alive. He'd risen, and now he was not afraid of death. Every human being is afraid of death. But on that road to Damascus, this man suddenly saw the living, risen Jesus. He was no longer fearful of death. He's conquered death for us. And this is what he's done. Now, as we ponder this, what happened to this man? Forgiven by God? He had said he was faultless in keeping the Jewish law. That was a lie. When God met him, he confessed his sin. There were little bits and pieces that he'd overlooked. He didn't realise that. But he said he was that. And he acted in ignorance and unbelief. And he confessed his need of God and forgiveness. And this is very important. That is foundational to our life. If you know you're forgiven by who it matters in this world, God who created everything, that is peace. I have peace with God. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. Notice that word. We had that at the beginning, didn't we? God is faithful, and it's repeated here. And just to forgive our sin. Whatever we've done, no matter how evil it is, God is capable of washing it away, removing it. And you are forgiven. You now have peace with God. In that church in Melbourne, the Reverend Joseph Blinko spoke to me, and I knew the peace of God, of forgiveness. It didn't matter what anybody said about me. They could call me the biggest idiot in the world. It didn't matter. God accepted me. Whereabouts is your road to Damascus? Whereabouts is your road? Is it still to come, or is your road in this church? This is where you met Jesus. Or is it in your home where you're reading the Bible and praying? Or maybe as you're walking along the road. A friend of mine said I stopped the horses on my big kind of bay haler, and he would stop the horses, got down in the middle of the paddock. That was my road to Damascus. On that place I gave my life to Christ. So where is your road to Damascus? Have you arrived at that point yet? God wants to enter your life and give you his peace of forgiveness. So as we look at this, God changed him and he entered into a right relationship with him. Everything was okay now. Everything was forgiven. Now his life began to pulsate with life. He had a purpose to glorify God. Okay, let's look on. We've talked about forgiveness. Paul immediately began to go out to the crowds and say, Jesus is alive. Oh, you're a nut. They said, I saw him on the road to Damascus. You can say what you like, but I know it's true. So he went out there and he witnessed the people in Damascus. As you and I walk through life with the Lord Jesus, we are a witness in all we say and all we do, at home, at work, in our relationships with other people. Let's think of this for a moment. You cannot not be a witness. If you know Jesus, he's come into your life, he's transformed you, and now you are a witness before everybody by the cakes you make. My wife makes beautiful cakes. By the beautiful lamb roast she makes. This type of thing, the things we do, talk more loudly than what we say. And this is where your life is, this part. You and I are now called into fellowship with Jesus. We are to walk with him. Now let's think for a moment. Who is this Jesus? He created the world. We said that right at the beginning. He created every one of you with a purpose. You are not just something thrown down, an accident to life. You have a purpose. God's got your life in mind. He wants you to be a blessing to other people. And he's got everything well organized. If we will just listen, you cannot not be a witness. You are a witness. And so as we think of these things, this is what Paul did. He was walking with a man who'd healed the sick. He was walking with a man who'd fed the multitude out of nothing. He was the man who raised the dead. He was the man who healed the blind eyes. He is capable of doing everything. This is who you and I walk with down the streets of Tamworth, or it might be out of Manila, might be somewhere else. That is your place where he walks with you hand in hand, and he is the one who guides us, directs us, and has everything well organized for us. Okay, let's look on. Maybe this is the next thing. Did you know you are a letter from Christ? Sounds funny, doesn't it? Written not with pen and ink or with a biro or with a computer or an email or whatever it is. Written in your body. Your body is a letter from Christ. By what we do, we show we are a letter from Christ reaching out and loving other people. What you do is very important. So, do you notice we've talked about, first of all, forgiveness. Now we're talking about the fellowship of walking with Jesus in his plan, in this church, in this neighbourhood, in this society that you and I live. The culture out there is just a shadow, empty, and has got nothing to offer permanently. They can create beautiful buildings, but when an earthquake occurs, it may just end. But let's look at this further. We come to the next section. Fellowship with Jesus our Lord. He wants to guide our life into the pathway that he has chosen for you. Okay? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what Paul said. Where did he get his power from? The boss, Lord Jesus. He's the one. He's got everything. He created the world. He's going to raise you and I from the dead. I've actually arranged my funeral in my great uncle's church in Brisbane. It's at a place called Graceville. It's a beautiful church. So when I depart this world to see Jesus, that's where they'll bury my body. I've actually organised the hymns and everything. It's got it all organised. My wife says, I'll alter them. You won't be here to see it. And so this is where, do you see, we can do anything through Christ. He's got all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. He knows everything. He's the Lord. But notice what he says. What is God asking you to do in this very church, in this very neighbourhood? We moved to Brisbane from Melbourne, and we hit a little suburb there, and there were 8 houses in our little block, and we said, these are the people God's brought us to reach to. What are we going to do? There's 7 houses plus our house. Right, there's a couple over the road. There's another couple there. There's 2 ladies, single ladies here, a Chinese couple down here. There's a Samoan next door to us and another couple. And we thought, what do we do? Well, first of all, let's pray and ask God what he wants to do. In other words, he's the boss. He's got it all organised. He knows about these things. We reached out to the couple right across the road. We'd invited our great friends on the north side to come and visit us and have a lovely roast lamb dinner. Do you like roast lamb? I love it, especially with a mint sauce on it. And we'd planned this, my wife had cooked it all, and there it was. But our friends got lost. They couldn't find the suburb. And they rang and says, we're going home, we can't make it. You don't get angry and upset. We just walked across the road and says, don't cook the evening meal. You come over and eat the meal that's already ready for you. Isn't this interesting? There's a purpose in everything. And Peter and Sue are now members of our church, members of our Bible study in our home. Isn't this amazing? God planned this all. He's got a job for you to reach out to your neighbours. They are lost. They are following a culture that's just a shadow of the reality, which is Jesus. It's crumbling around them. It's changing all the time. It's not stable. God's got a purpose for you. So that's what we're looking at. Thank you very much. God meets our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. Whatever you need, he already knows about it. As I said to you, my daughter is over with our daughter. My wife is over with my daughter in Peru, working out what they're going to do regarding her Parkinson's. What do? When we first heard of that, we prayed, God, what will we do? We're going to visit our friend on Bribie Island. She's a retired missionary. And we went over there and we talked with her about her life and so forth. And then we said, our daughter has early onset Parkinson's. My son is the expert in Australia. God knew about it. He is the professor of medicine in Melbourne University, Dr. Malcolm Horn. We knew him. He was a little kid, no bigger than these guys, up in Papua New Guinea. He was a missionary kid. And there, isn't this amazing? This is our loving Lord. He knows our problem. He knows the issues. It's in his hands. God meets our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ. Whatever you've got as a need in your life, he already knows about. What is his plan to resolve it? I don't know. My daughter says, I could have it in Peru. I could have it in Australia. Doesn't matter. I'm serving Jesus. This is the things that matters. His will. What is his purpose in life? We are walking in fellowship with Jesus, who is our Lord. Okay, let's look at the next one. Thank you very much. Paul is in Damascus, and there he is. They don't like him preaching about Jesus the resurrection. That's not right, they said. So they chased him, and he had to escape over the back wall. He said it was humiliating. When was the last time you had to escape over the back wall of your house and run away? Think about this. Sometimes it's not funny, some of the things God does, but I think God has a big laugh on the side, you know. And there's Paul running away from these guys trying to escape. Look at again that verse that's beside those words. The Lord is faithful. You can trust him. You can bet your bottom dollar on it. God is in control. The Lord is faithful and will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. In other words, in life, you and I face problems. It's part of life. Do you know what one of the great scientific professors wrote in London? He wrote, life is a matter of fixing problems. Is that right? Too right it is. This world is broken. Everything's crumbling around us. It's not permanent. It's temporary. And in heaven, there is eternal life. That which is eternal. That is the real foundation. But this is where we're thinking about this. There we are, Paul, you're running away from a problem. No, God's got the perfect answer. Every day set for you and I is written in God's book before it comes to be. The day of your death is set. That is Psalm 139, verse 16. Read it. It's thrilling. My whole life is in his hand. And he has a perfect purpose with my life. What's his purpose with your life? What has he got you here to do in this church, in this neighbourhood, in this area? There's a purpose for you here, a big purpose. Okay, let's look on. Here we see in life, one of the things that is very important, everybody is suffering. Is that right? It is true. I've got skin cancer on my legs here. There we are. And this is part of being a Queenslander. You know, skin cancer. It's part of Australian life, Victoria, nowhere. And every part of Australia, there's issues. We live in a broken world, a world that is flawed because of human sin. So as we look at this issue, God is faithful. Notice that word again. It keeps coming up, doesn't it? God can be trusted. Let's think of it. God does not do the nasty on you. Some people will do the nasty on you. They'll steal, they'll hurt you, they'll abuse you. But God never does. God is good. And what his plans for you are good. Every one of them. God is faithful and he will do what he said. Have a look at that verse because I actually altered it. That's wrong. God is faithful and he will do it. What is it? It is what he plans, what he said, that is what he will do. You see, God cannot lie. You can do something that God cannot do. You can lie. Is that true?
Yes.
I remember doing that as a little child, stealing from my mother, and it still keeps on hitting me every now and again. I used to go to the tuck shop in the school and buy lollies, and I lied to her. And this is what you and I can do. But God cannot tell a lie. Whenever he says something, it will happen. Faith is obedience to the word of God. What God has committed himself to do, he will do. He is totally trustworthy. He's reliable. He will do what he has said. So as we look at this, in our struggles, God is with you. But all around us are other people going through similar struggles. And they're just reaching out and looking for someone who would love them. And this is where we see in the life of people around us the opportunity to show that God is faithful. You can trust him. Okay, let's look at the next one. I pray, and this is my prayer for you, that out of his glorious riches, God's riches, he will strengthen you with power. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you will be Christ-like in all that you do. As we consider this, let's think of a man that I met in Papua New Guinea. Thank you. I'd like to talk about, we went to Papua New Guinea. We were praying for the area where we were planting a church. We were praying for the people in the villages, but we did not know there was a man out in the bush living alone. The people never told us about him. They knew about him. We didn't know. And he said to me 2 years ago, this man, his name was Simon, I used to walk past your house every night. I could hear you snoring. I used to go off to do my dirty work. You see, he grew drugs and he was bringing them down to Australia to buy weapons. As a child, he'd grown up seeing the Indonesian army machine gunning the people of his village. He hated them with a passionate hatred to kill every Indonesian he ever saw. This was Simon Darius, living in the jungle. We knew nothing about him. So let's see. We were praying for him without knowing that we're praying for him. But God is the one who says, I am in control. And he had his hand on Simon Darius's life. This is the area of Papua New Guinea we're talking about. Thank you, Mark. This is where we live. Aruthi here. And he had fled from West Papua over here. That's where he was, in the jungle. Now, what is God's plan? We didn't know anything about this plan. We didn't even know his name. But we were praying for everybody in this area. Isn't that amazing? You're praying in the dark. Haven't got a clue. But God knows what he's doing. Okay, let's go on. In 1984, God had planted the word of God through our preaching, through our translation, and at that point, the word of God in the hearts of people and women, men and children, began to germinate, and they began to pulsate with life and love God with all their heart. They smashed their idols. They got rid of all the rubbish, those shadows that they'd been worshipping. And in the midst of this, God began a great transforming work in people's lives. And the people went to Simon Darius and said, Simon, we think you ought to settle down. You ought to leave your wild behaviour, and yet you ought to get married. Interesting? And they said, we've got the girl lined up. Her name is Popete. Popete, we knew her very well. She was very helpful to us. And she was in the school doing education there, and they married them. So he decided to move out of the jungle into the village. Where was the only place to build a house? Right beside the church. Very interesting. Isn't God wonderful how he organises these things? And there he was, but he hated any idea whatsoever of love. He was a man of murder. I'm going to kill Indonesians. And he says, I will not listen to what they say. But 2 years ago he said, that word kept on hitting me in the ear. Kept on hitting me. And I couldn't avoid it. Just like Paul when he heard the words of Stephen, Father, forgive them for what they're doing. Same thing. And he heard it, but he ignored it. And then his wife was converted. And he watched the transformation in Popete's life. Oh, this is amazing. She's loving everybody. And then she said, I'm going to the women's camp, which is just a few miles down the road, and we're going to have a wonderful time studying the word of God. No, you are not. God is my Lord. Goodbye. Off she went. He chased her down the village with a big machete to kill her. How dare she defy him? He was an angry man. But Popete believed in Jesus. She got to the village and all the women assembled in the church when Simon Darius arrived. They're all praying for her. Popete, don't worry. If he kills you, you go straight to heaven. Don't you worry. Your life is settled. Don't worry. And they prayed, and one of the women preached at him that Jesus loved him. He smashed his knife into the ground and then turned and went back. But he wasn't finished yet. When she comes home, I'm going to pour boiling oil on her. He got out a big bottle of cooking oil, put it in the pot and began preparing it. The women came back, but the men knew what Simon Darius was doing. So they escorted all the women past his house into the church. But he waited till the men had gone and he grabbed his pot of boiling oil and came to the church to pour it on Popete. But there was a man standing in the doorway with scars in his hand, in his hands and his feet, and he screamed. It was Jesus. And he was converted on the spot. Transformed. This wild man, just like Paul. And this actually happened. And during the next 2 years, the church got together and they discipled him, taught him about Jesus. And he was sitting in his house one day when he heard a voice. Simon Darius, you are to go back to your country and love Indonesians. You are to bring them to Christ. It was the voice of God. Poppeti was in the kitchen preparing the evening meal, and she heard the voice. She screamed, bolted out the back door. She actually broke the door off its hinges to get out, trying to get out. The voice of God was just like a booming voice. That is not the normal way that God meets with you and I. That was Paul's road to Damascus. This is Simon Darius's meeting with God. But yours might be in your house, reading the Bible, praying, seeking to know God's will for you. So as we consider this, let's think one more. This is Simon Darius. 2 years ago, I took his photo, and he just preaches so beautifully. He's a man of amazing ability. He's out there preaching. By the way, the federal police were looking for him. Also, the police of Papua New Guinea, so the Indonesian army, they wanted to kill him. But God has protected him. And this is what God has done. He's stepped into our world, and he wants to step into your life to transform us into the Christ likeness of being Christ again on this earth. What is your plan for your life? Forget it. God has got a better plan for your life. Let's think about this. Fellowship with Jesus, praying, reading his word, and going out and doing it. Shall we bow in prayer? Father, we love you because you put your hand upon us and you have touched our lives so that we might be just like you, loving, righteous, and doing your will. Thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of members of this church, in our lives, today and tomorrow. Amen.